Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. How many of you are praying in these days that God would do something only He can do? Are you praying that way? Well, if you're praying that way, you keep praying that way. I got a card from Pastor Will Binkley this week, and it blessed me. I read it to some folks Friday night, and Will wanted to thank Second Mile Church for standing as one up at the downtown commons a couple of weeks ago. And he said, Cal, ever since the Franklin Graham rally and then the Jesus rally last year and then the worship at the downtown commons over these last few months, he said, God is doing something amazing in our city. And I hear that all the time. And I see God moving. And if we don't mess this up, God's going to do something powerful in Clarksville, Tennessee. He already is. He already is. And so let's continue with that thought in prayer together this morning. Okay? You just pray right there in your seat, and however God leads you to pray in that manner, and then I'll finish us in prayer. Father, I don't believe there's anything quite like it when the saints of God are together praying. The church began in a manner just like that. And all through the history, all through the last 2,000 plus years, God's people have been praying. And Lord, we just want to say thank you this morning. You could have sent judgment already upon America. You could have wiped us off the map. You could have gotten rid of us. And yet, God, you've extended grace, even though we're in sin as a nation. And Father, we're praying for a great revival, for a spiritual awakening that would sweep through this nation one more time before Jesus comes. Oh, God, would you do something powerful in Clarksville, Tennessee, so that we'll recognize that it's your work, that you would be the only thing that could get this done, and that you'd be the only one to receive credit and glory and honor for what you do. Oh, God, would you move in this place? Lord, let it begin right here at Second Mile. We're ready for revival. Revive your church and save our city. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And thank you, Lord, that you're with us always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. You do sense the presence of the Lord here this morning. Amen. Do you not? I'm going to just felt led to speak on baptism today. We need to have a good understanding about what baptism is. And I know this is a Baptist church, but we believe in baptism not because we're Baptist, but because we believe the Bible. It really doesn't matter what church background you're from today, whether you're Episcopalian, Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, or no church background at all. We're going to dive into the Scriptures and try to ascertain what baptism is, what the meaning of baptism is, what it looks like, and what God expects out of baptism. Is that all right? And so if you have a Bible, we're in Mark. We're going to be all over the Bible. But we're going to start here in Mark chapter 1, verse 9. So if you would stand to your and as we honor God's Word to your feet this morning. Mark chapter 1 and verse 9, 10, and 11. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. It's about 80 miles from Nazareth down to where John was baptizing on the Jordan River. Okay? And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven. You see, right here you see the presence of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What does the Bible say about baptism? It has a lot to say about baptism, actually. And did you know that Jesus began his public ministry with being baptized? And he concluded his ministry 3.5 years later by demanding baptism of his followers. And so I want us all to go to the Bible this morning with an open mind. Don't sit there if you're a long-time saved Bible believer and say, "I know everything there is to know about baptism." Uh-uh. Don't go to the Bible with that mindset this morning. Let's go to the Bible with an open mindset about baptism. Are you with me? Okay. So the first point I want to make and talk about is the proper practice of baptism. Really doesn't matter what my history is about baptism. Let me say this. Whatever your experience with baptism you've had, we are not putting that down this morning. Okay? I know that was a very meaningful thing for you. And I know that that was a great blessing for you. And so it's not my priority to make you feel bad about any kind of baptism you've had. All right? What I do want us to look at is, what does the Bible say about baptism? And so we're going to talk, first of all, about the proper practice of baptism. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 says, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John," where? In the Jordan. And so for a proper baptism to take place, you got to have water. Verse 8 says, John said, "I indeed baptized you with water." And so you've got to have water for a biblical baptism to take place. And not only that, baptism requires much water. Why did Jesus go down to the Jordan River to be sprinkled? He did not go to the Jordan River to be sprinkled. He went down there to be baptized. The word means immerse, and we'll talk more about that. John 3:23 says that Jesus, anytime a biblical baptism takes place, she's got it right up here, hallelujah. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim because there was much water there. And they came and were, why do you need much water? Boom, you got to go, yeah. And so you not only need water, you need much water for a proper practice of baptism. And then baptism also requires going down into the water. Look at that. You're doing so good, Ellen. We're just going to dance together this morning. Acts 8:38. Look at this scripture. "So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water," and he baptized. So a biblical baptism takes place when someone goes down into the water. You see, now again, I'm not picking on anybody, but you don't find in the New Testament any infants being baptized in the water, being sprinkled. You know why that is? To be baptized, you had to be buried beneath the water. You had to go down into the water. And so You wouldn't do that to a baby, would you? Hello? All right? And so I like what Romans 6:4 says. Ellen, throw that one up there. We're going to have to give her a raise. There it is. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so baptism is a picture of a burial, of someone going down into the water. Now, when a corpse is buried, would you sprinkle dirt on top of them? No, you're going to cover them up, right? Well, that's what baptism signifies. It is a burial. It's a picture of a watery grave. We're buried to an old life and raised to a new life. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And so baptism requires water, and not just any amount, but much water, and it requires going down into the water. And baptism also requires coming up out of the water. Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, that's Montgomery County for look a here. The heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So a biblical baptism takes place when someone goes down under the water, when they're buried beneath the water, and they come back up out of the water. Now, the word is immerse, not submerge. I've heard pastors say, well, you got to be submerged. No, you need to be immersed. That's the word for baptism. Submerge means to go down under and stay under. Billy Walker said it this morning. He was telling Ethan, he said, Ethan, I'm going to help you because Brother Cal sometimes will take people down and keep them down. Well, that's the word submerge. The Bible word for baptism is immerse, because you got to come back up out of the water. And so that's the particular method of baptism. Quickly, the mode or method, whatever word you want to use there. And then I want us to understand the precise meaning of baptism. And I got to give you some quick history, okay? Listen, the Greek word for baptism, for baptize in the Bible, is the word baptizo. Now, I know that doesn't mean a hill of beans to you, but let me kind of unpack that to you. And that word means to immerse or to plunge beneath the water. The New Testament teaches immersion by baptism by immersion. And so you might be thinking, well, Brother Cal, there's so many denominations that sprinkle. Isn't there any Greek word for sprinkle in the New Testament? Well, the word for sprinkle in Greek is the word rontizo. And guess what? The only time you find the word for baptism is the word baptizo, which means immerse. Well, how did we get there? Well, 1,700 years ago, the worldwide church, the Catholic Church, our brothers and sisters began to teach over time that in order to be a member of the church, you had to be baptized in order to get to heaven. And to be a member of the church, you had to get baptized. And you all know you can't immerse babies. Because what happens to a baby if you immerse a baby? Yeah. And so they said, well, we won't immerse, we'll sprinkle. And so that was the word that was used. Now in 1611, how many King James lovers do we have? Go ahead. All right, several of you. All right, I've got some good news for my King James lovers. In 1611, King James wanted the common folks to have a contemporary version of the Bible. All they had was the Latin Vulgate. In other words, all the Bible they had was in Latin, right? And how many of y'all know Latin? See? One. Two. Three. So y'all are fluent in Latin? Not fluent. Okay. Anyways. And so what King James did in 1611 was he hired
the finest scholars, Hebrew and Greek scholars that he could get, so the common folks could have a Bible that they could read and understand. And that Bible was, we came to know that as the King James Version of the Bible. I thought surely if some of my KJV guys would go, hallelujah. But that's how that began. Well, the scholars got a hold of the Hebrew and Greek scriptures and all those manuscripts. They began to work and do the best they could do. And they were doing a great job until they got to this word over in the New Testament, baptizo. And every one of those scholars knew that the word baptizo means immerse. You see their dilemma? If they put immerse, if they translate the word as immerse, well, King James is going to have their head taken off. Because they're baptizing infants, sprinkling infants. And so they said, how in the world can we stay true to the word and yet keep our heads? And so you know what they did? They transliterated the word. Baptizo. They dropped the omega off the end of the word and added an epsilon, an E, on the end of the word. And so instead of immerse, you've got baptize. And that's the way that word was written in the King James Bible in 1611. And so if you don't believe that, you just insert the word sprinkle every time you see the word baptize in your Bible. And guess what? It won't make sense. Because the scriptural word for a biblical baptism takes place is the word immerse. That's the way it was for almost 400 years in the New Testament church. Y'all with me so far? How many of you are mad at me? If you're my brother or sister, you got to love me. So anyways, just hang in with me now. So that's the proper practice of baptism. Y'all with me? Immerse. And then there's the precious picture of baptism, and I'll hurry. We're having the Lord's Supper today, too. Some of y'all are just so excited about that, you're about to fall asleep. The precious picture of baptism. It pictures the gospel. Baptism pictures the gospel of Christ. I said that out here. Romans 6, 3 through 5. Can you do that one there, sister? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Key word, therefore we were buried, key word, with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was, key word, raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And so baptism pictures the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great, great picture. If baptism isn't a picture of the gospel, then it's not a biblical baptism. Pictures the grace of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:12 says this, buried with Him. How many of y'all have ever heard me say, everything that happened to Jesus has happened to us? Died with Him, buried with Him, raised with Him. We're also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And so baptism is a beautiful picture of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every song we sing ought to point to the grace of Jesus Christ. Every sermon we preach ought to point to Jesus Christ. Baptism points to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper that we're about to take points to the Lord Jesus Christ. The bread points to His body. The cup points to His blood. How does sprinkling point to Jesus? Immersion points to Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you'll see this truth this morning, I don't care if you're a longtime Lutheran. I don't care if you're a powerful Presbyterian or a poignant Pentecostal. I don't care where you're from. If you're Catholic, if you're Baptist, if you'll see this truth this morning, I mean, an armed guard with a machine gun won't keep you from being baptized today. Hallelujah. It pictures the grace of Jesus Christ. It also pictures the glory of Jesus. Now, I don't have time to read 1 Corinthians 15, but that's the great resurrection chapter in the Bible. And one day, baptism pictures a new life, raised to new life. But one day, we are going to receive a brand new body. We're going to be raised to a brand spanking new life. And baptism also points to that fact. And I will tell you, the only bullet that fits the gun of baptism is the bullet of immersion. And it'll only take a moment of surrender and about 30 seconds of climbing into a baptistry to be in the will of God today. Baptism is a precious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I wanted to get to, the primary purpose of baptism. How should I be baptized? We've talked about that. Why should I be baptized? Talk about when? Well, baptism is, first of all, an act of confession. An act of confession. Are you with me? Acts 2:41, sister. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them all throughout the New Testament. This is why we call it believer's baptism. Because all throughout the New Testament, anytime somebody's baptized, they first come to faith in Jesus Christ. First belief, then baptism. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch? Philip, the evangelist, had been witnessing to him on that Gaza road that was going down to Egypt. And the Ethiopian, he had opened up Isaiah and led him to Jesus. And the Ethiopian said, "Look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "You can if you believe with all of your heart." And you remember what the Ethiopian eunuch said? "I believe." 3,000. Once they received the Word of God, once they were truly born again, once they were truly saved, then they were baptized. Believer's baptism. What an act of confession it is at your coming out party. You're baptized not for salvation, but you're baptized because you've been saved. You want everybody to know about it. There was a little boy told his pastor, said, "Pastor, I've been saved and I want to be advertised." That is it. That's the picture, see? It's a confession that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Hallelujah. Baptism is a confession. It's also an act of contrition. Matthew 28:19. "Go therefore." These are the last things that Jesus said before He went back to heaven. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Baptism is an act of obedience. It's an act of contrition. It's not an option. That's a command. That is a command. Now, here's what's happened to some of you. Some of you came to Christ or thought you were actually saved at a young age. But when you got older, you realized, you know what? I don't know what happened back there, but all I did was get wet. And then you truly got born again later on. Well, you need to be baptized now. Because once you believe, then you're baptized. You need to get some of you all here today, and you need to get your baptism on the right side of the cross. It's an act of contrition. It's really an act of obedience. And some of you have been saved, and you've not been baptized. Well, Jesus said it's our very first marching order. It's the first thing you ought to do. And so if you hold up on that, it's going to cause problems in other areas. Amen? I mentioned in the beginning, Jesus walked 80 miles to be baptized of John. Would y'all be willing to walk about 80 feet? It's an act of contrition. And by the way, Jesus wasn't baptized because He was a sinner. He was baptized to identify with sinful humanity. He said it's a powerful picture of what not only happened to Him, but what happened has happened to that new believer. And then finally, here's the last point. Baptism is an act of compassion. John 14, 15. If you got that one, sister. But I'll tell you what, Ellen's slick, isn't she? If you love me. And that verb there means is a perfect tense verb, which means it will keep. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You see, the biggest issue this morning about baptism is, do you love Jesus? Do you love Him? Because if you love Him, hello, you're going to do what He tells you to do. It's not a matter of being Baptist. It's a matter of being biblical. It's a matter of following the Scripture. And you're here this morning, and you know it. Can I tell you? If you'll follow the Lord in believer's baptism, I mean, the weight will fall off of you, and you'll begin to grow and mature as you follow Jesus more closely. You got to get the first act of obedience right before you can start getting some of this other stuff right. Jesus is with us this morning. He is here. And I want to tell you, there'll be people jumping up and down if we follow the Lord in obedience. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I don't even begin to know what you want to do right now, but I know this, anytime the word's read or taught or preached, there's always a response that has to be made. And no response is a bad response. And just saying yes to your word, Lord, is a blessing for us. And so, Father, today, there are those here that need to be saved, that need to receive the word of God by faith, like the Ethiopian eunuch did, like those 3,000 did. And today, if you'd be willing to turn from your sin and ask God to forgive you right where you sit, believe that He's alive today, that He's been raised from the dead, just like He said He would, place your trust and faith in Christ and Christ alone to save you, He will receive you. And you need to follow the Lord in baptism today. Some of you have been saved after your first baptism and you need to be baptized. I'm telling you this for your own good. You don't want to go see Jesus and He's going to ask you, why didn't you do this? Some of you are here and you've been saved, and for whatever reason, you just hadn't followed through. Can I just tell you, today's your day. Today is your day. And I want to ask you right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd like to be baptized, if you want to follow the Lord's leadership in your life, say, yes, Brother Cal, I need to be baptized. And I want to be baptized. I want to show Jesus that I truly, truly love Him. Would you just stand to your feet? Nobody's looking around. Just stand to your feet. That's right. Just stand up right where you are. Nobody's looking around. Just stand up. Anyone. Anyone. There are people here that need to be baptized. Will you say yes to Jesus? Just stand up. Amen. God bless you, sister. I've been praying for you this morning. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Just stand to your feet. We'll get it worked out, time and all that. We'll get it worked out. Father, thank you for speaking to hearts all across this building. Just want you to know, Lord, we want to respond in faith and obedience today to all you called us to do. I thank you for this one. In there are others here that need to do what she's about to do. We love you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to have the Lord's Supper now. Or would you have the offering first? Oh, supper first. Thank you. Val, I don't want to embarrass you, hon, but she stood. This is my niece-in-law, okay? My niece by marriage. Val, stand up. Hey, man. Hallelujah. I am so proud of you. So proud of you. And you know what she tells me every Sunday? She said, I learn so much every time I come to worship about the Lord. And so she's just being obedient to what she's learned today. She comes from another church background, and that's okay. And so we're going to have a baptism next Sunday. And if you want to do that next Sunday, will that be okay? You may want to get some other folks here for that. But okay. Hallelujah. All right. We'll do that next Sunday. God bless you. All right. We're gonna experience the Lord's Supper together today. And I just want to say a word about communion. We believe in open communion. You don't have to be a member of this church to sit down at the Lord's spiritually, to sit down at his table. But what we do ask is that you've had all your sins confessed, turned from, forsaken, forgiven under the blood of Jesus, that you're saved and you've been obedient to the Lord. Because if you partake of the supper today and you've got unconfessed, unrepented sin, you're eating and drinking judgment upon yourself. You see, one of the reasons that we observe the Lord is to keep us holy, to keep us pure. That's one of the reasons Jesus instituted the supper in the first place. And so we want to just ask everyone here to be a part of what we're doing here. And you're welcome to come. If you're right with God, okay? You're right with God. And we do it a little bit differently here at Second Mile. Guys, if y'all just come on in our teams, you notice that they're coming. They've got a plate of bread and they've got a cup of juice. All right. And what we want to ask you to do is just take a piece of the bread and dip it into the cup and just put it in your mouth and then head back to your seat. Now, the bread is symbolic of the broken body of Jesus. We don't believe we're eating the flesh of Jesus, but it's symbolic of his broken body and what he went through. And then the cup, of course, is symbolic of the blood of Jesus. We're under a new covenant today. And by the way, Jesus said, I will not eat of this bread and drink this cup again until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom of God. And so the Lord's Supper, in a real way, symbolizes the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we want to ask all of you to just get up and come whenever you're ready. If you need to pray first, you pray, and then you come and partake of the supper here, of communion here, and you'll be blessed by doing that today. So let's pray. David Fry, I'll hold the mic here. You ask God to bless the bread.
Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful, Father, that we are able to come before your presence today, God, and eat upon your table. Father, we just thank you for the body of Christ. That, Lord, we recognize through this bread, Father, that we have here, Lord, to partake of. I just thank you for all the ones here that's gathered today, God. May every one of them, Lord, be a born-again Christian, God, and we just ask that you touch him in a special way. These things pray in Jesus' name.
And Dick Littleton, would you ask God to just bless the cup today as we partake of it?
Almighty God, we are so thankful for that Jesus shed his precious blood for us on the cross. Cover us in your blood, Lord. Cover our sins so that we might be able to communicate and commune with you again in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. When you're ready, you can come one by one. Just come on.
Well, it's been a great day to be in God's house. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to be here this morning to observe the two ordinances, believer's baptism and the Lord's Supper. What a wonderful morning, Father, and we just thank you for it. We thank you for our guests that are here this morning. Pray that you would bless them for having put you first this morning, as well as our church family. Help us as we're dismissed in the community to just be the hands and feet of Jesus to everyone we come in contact with. And it's in his great big name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.